This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And State Representative and actually State Senator and Republican candidate for Governor Christine Drazen on. Thanks for being on today.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's good to be back with you.
So, one day to go. How do you feel about the race at this point?
I feel very, very excited to be at Election Day tomorrow. We just need Oregonians to turn in their ballots. We have only about half of the people that we know are going to end up voting across the state that have actually turned their ballots in and that's made it to the county yet. So we need people to remember to, you've got one more day until 8 p.m. tomorrow night to get that ballot to a drop box.
And here in Douglas County, as of late Friday, we were just over 20% of all registered voters that had cast a ballot, which seems, even for a primary, seems pretty low.
Yeah, I believe that it's pretty well on track for where it is historically, but that number, we'll take more. Everybody, please vote. This is such an important election. We have to kill the gas tax. It's the Republican primary for governor, and we need people to use their voice and turn in their ballots. It's so incredibly important.
So as you've gone through this campaign for quite a while now, what are the top issues you're really focusing on?
I'm focused on serving Oregonians. I'm focused on taking government and getting it out of people's lives so that people are able to actually afford to live here and they can have businesses that are growing and their kids are getting a good education. The focus for me has really been providing real benefit to Oregonians for the government that they're paying way too much for right now, that they just aren't getting a return on that investment.
What do you feel like the top things you're hearing from Oregonians are as you travel around the state?
Affordability, affordability, affordability. Whether people want to talk to me about their increased property taxes or their water bill or their electric bill or their gas bill when they're filling up their pump. People just are feeling the strain right now of living here. And everything I just mentioned has a regulatory burden built into it that is affecting costs. It is making things more expensive for everybody. Gas, we have the clean fuel standard. That is jargon for a political agenda that wants to get you out of your gas-powered car into an electric vehicle, and it's driving costs to do it. And that is something that we have got to change. As governor, I am going to pause that program and make sure that we can ensure that we control gas prices for people, at least for the part of this that we can control at a state level. And that really is the tax part and the regulatory part.
As you look at the potential of becoming governor of Oregon, so many things to consider. I wanted to ask about some of the state agencies and some of the management. First of all, let's start out with the Oregon Department of Transportation. What's your thoughts there and what you would do differently?
I am going to fire ineffective agency heads, full stop. So that means that the Oregon Department of Transportation has recently had an interim director in that spot, and that leaves that position open for me to be able to appoint person. That it has expertise, that understands that my standard is going to be, we're going to build roads and we're going to repair roads and maintain roads. And our focus here is going to be on providing a value to Oregon families, not an agenda. What we learned when we were in that gas tax fight was that the Department of Transportation in particular is built in with all of these political agendas. And I believe that it's across all of state government that they had a focus on sort of a triple aim. And sometimes I talk about it like they wanted to be tall, thin, and rich. So they couldn't just fix our roads. They also wanted to fix climate. They also wanted to do DEI work. And that isn't something that we all think about when we think about our highways. And so we need to get these agencies back to their core functions. So firing ineffective agency heads and replacing them with people that have issue area expertise, that understand how to run agencies and budgets and cut programs down to what Oregonians can afford. We can't be all things to all people. We can't pay for that. And Oregonians don't want that out of their government. And I'm going to start with education, transportation, Oregon Health Authority, DEQ, Oregon Water Resources Department, like go straight down that list and start fixing what's broken.
As you look at, for instance, ODOT a little bit more, the freeway system built in the 60s and the 70s, we've got bridges and other things. Seems like there's a lot of infrastructure in Oregon that's coming to a critical point. And have we waited too long to deal with some of this? Is it going to end up costing us more?
That absolutely is what happens. That's the consequence of delaying routine maintenance and preservation, is that it becomes so unsafe that they can no longer just add that extra layer or just fill that pothole. The road at that point needs to be replaced. And we don't want to operate that way. We can't afford to operate that way. That is not managing these public resources well. So we have got to get in front of it and do our work to maintain and preserve these roadways. When it comes to our critical infrastructure like roads, the resources are there. The money is there. We just have got to, we've got to spend it wisely.
Talk about the state education system and things you would like to see different there.
I believe that all of our kids have extraordinary unlimited potential, but they're not getting the supports that they need at a school level. We know based on the data that you've seen and you've reported on and talked about that our kids are among the worst in the nation for reading and math, just as an example. We need those kids to be able to read in the third grade. So as governor, I will stop social promotion. So if you can't read in the third grade, we're going to get you tutoring and interventions and additional supports to make sure that you don't move on to the fourth grade and the fifth grade and the sixth grade without knowing how to read. I am committed to ensuring that we restore our graduation requirements. We have got to also make sure that our classrooms are safe. Teachers, 1 in 4 teachers say that they don't feel safe in the classroom. Right now, if a student has behavior challenges, routinely teachers will clear the classrooms rather than dealing with that student and their behavior. That's got to stop. Teachers have to feel supported. They need to have the authority to use their professional judgment to determine how to manage their classrooms. So if that student needs to be in school suspension based on behavior, then we need to do that. And we need to get that kid the help that they need. But certainly that student that's struggling can't stop the rest of the class from learning. And that's what's happening today. So we need to extend instructional time, focus on reading at the third grade, return our graduation standards, and give supports to teachers who right now are feeling like they're not being heard. And also, we've got to get politics out of the classroom. And no more trying to cut parents out. Parents are the ones who are raising these kids, not the state.
Let's talk about the area of forest management. A lot of that comes down from the federal level, works its way down into states and counties. There's been, in the current administration in Washington, D.C., a number of shifts there, but they are slowly headed a certain direction. Where do you see the role of the governor in dealing with management of federal lands that are in Oregon, but also management of Oregon state lands as well?
It's incredibly important that we manage our forests. 60% of Oregon's forests are federal, as you just noted, and they have been an absentee landlord. They need to manage those forests so that we don't get megafires and smoke all summer long that affects air quality and tourism and quality of life for all of us. So I look forward to the opportunity to be able to work with the federal government to see a different approach to management of those forests for purposes of mitigating wildfire potential and ensuring that we're getting our natural resources working again. These are assets. Too often politicians look at them like they're a liability, like it's just a cost. The truth is, it's an extraordinary asset for our nation and the people of our state. And we need to treat it that way. But we have to start with the federal government taking responsibility to get back to active management of our forests. At a state level, we cannot be stopped by the threat of lawsuit to manage our own forests. So yes, we will be actively managing our state forests as well. We've got to stop allowing our forests to burn. We're just watching them burn. We have got to instead put out these fires and prevent the wildfires by managing this asset.
And talk about your concern level for this summer. I mean, we've got record lows, snowpack just about everywhere, it seems like. Temperatures forecast to be warmer than normal as well. And that doesn't necessarily shape up very well for the potential for wildfires.
Yeah, we've got to be ready. This could be a summer of fires. And so from the state perspective, as governor, I'm going to direct my folks. We're going to put those fires out. And we have got to have that expectation with our federal partners as well. If with our technology, with drones and all the opportunities to see what's going on out there, we need to be able to put the fires out. Right now, they wait far too long. They wait until these fires take a run and they're close to property or they're close to populations. We need to put the fires out instead.
For Oregon State Police, a lot of law enforcement people have argued that they are understaffed, underfunded for a long time. What changes would you make with state police?
I will fully fund our state police. We cannot be among the worst in the nation for coverage for law enforcement. We need adequate numbers of law enforcement on our streets. In particular, rural Oregon is incredibly dependent on the role that state police play in ensuring public safety. And so, yes, I will fully support and fully fund law enforcement at the state level.
As you look at state budget priorities, I mean, you've got a lot of different agencies. You've got a pool of money. Do you see any immediate shifts where some areas need to get more money and some need to get less?
Budgets express priorities. And I look forward to the opportunity to getting our priorities back to our core functions of government that serve people. Schools, public safety, infrastructure, and maintaining a strong environment for businesses, growing our business environment in Oregon. And so we have got to stop looking at our businesses in our state like they're a personal piggy bank for all of us. We need them to stay, not look across state lines to go move or grow in other places. We want them to stay here and grow here. And so a lot of growing our economy, it expands access to funding for core functions and services at a state level. But we've got to support businesses to get that done. I will produce a balanced budget for the legislature after this election and prior to the legislative session beginning. And that budget will focus on lowering costs, lowering taxes, supporting public safety, schools, and the core functions of government.
As you've talked about the area of business, we've seen so many larger companies, middle-sized companies, move part of their structure at least out of the state. And in some cases, really in the last two or three years, we've seen some historical change. How do you get that totally reversed where you could get some of these companies perhaps to come back, but also to get new ones to locate in Oregon?
We've got to fix our reputation. And by electing a Republican governor, we will have gone a long ways towards doing that, because it will be rejecting the status quo that has absolutely been confrontational and oppositional to business across our state. So fix our reputation, fix our taxation, and fix our regulatory environment. These are all things that are possible and, frankly, are urgent. The governor, since it's an election year, has established the Prosperity Council. As governor, I will be the chief prosperity officer of our state. We don't need a council for that. But as they are talking about what our state needs for business, we need to listen. And they are saying we have to lower costs, we have to reduce the regulatory burden, and we need to be pro-business. You shouldn't have to get a permit to get a permit. Let's reduce the regulatory burden. Let's make it easier for businesses to streamline and grow here. And that will take a change in leadership. It's going to take time to see the benefit to our economy, but we've got to get started on day one.
as you've gone through this race, one of the aspects about it that I find interesting is that most Oregonians, other than senior citizens, have never experienced a Republican governor in their lifetime.
That's true. But here's what I would say for people that are looking at their ballot this year and trying to decide what to do. We won't get change unless we vote for change. We're not going to get different behavior, different priorities, different outcomes from the people that are currently in office. We've got to choose someone with a vision for the future of our state that aligns with Oregonians themselves. That is my vision for future, one that is focused on Oregonians, puts them first, and serves them and their families. This is a chance for Oregonians to recognize that the safe decision, the safe play, is for us to be able to actually elect a Republican and not a Democrat. So we have to look at this like the dangerous decision is voting for status quo.
And over the last number of years, it seems like GOP primary voters often will sit out the general election if the candidate they voted for in the primary doesn't win. They kind of pull back from interest and just either don't vote or have lukewarm support. What are your thoughts about that?
It's got to change. We've talked about this. You and I have in the past. We had 66,000 votes that we lost by. And 126,000 Republicans sat out the entire general election. We could have turned our state around 4 years ago. Our opportunity for change is completely in our hands. This isn't in the hands of the Metro or the Socialist Democrats of America or communists. This is actually in the hands of everyday Oregonians and their own decision whether or not to vote in this election and the next. We can fix this. We just have to show up.
So distinguish yourself from your main opponents in the primary.
You know, there's really no comparison between me and the other folks that are running in this primary. I have a level of experience and knowledge about what it's going to take to solve these problems, just based on my own personal experience in service, that will allow me to hit the ground running on day one. And I think that's the most important thing for Oregonians. This isn't a personality contest. This is about who will do the job, who will serve Oregonians and be able to deliver on what they are promising. That's me. I've been through the fire. I am battle tested. And I understand how these systems work. But more than that, I have shown that I'm committed to serving Oregonians and that I'm here for them. That's why I'm running. And that is why I want to do this job. It's to turn the state around that I love. I am a lifelong Oregonian and born in Klamath Falls. And this is my place. I love this state and I love the people of this state and I want to serve them.
Now, if you are elected in November, if you get through the primary as the winner and are elected in November, you're still going to be dealing with a legislature dominated by Democrats. How do you make that work and move your priorities forward?
So I would love to have more Republicans in the legislature because that will help restore balance across our state. Regardless of whether or not that happens, it's still such an extraordinary opportunity for Oregonians to have balance back again. The veto is an important tool to balance out power. We don't have that today. We just have single party control. So working with Democrats in the legislature will be an opportunity to come to the table, negotiate, find compromise that's common sense, not political agenda, and serve the people of the state. And we haven't seen that for years and years. To your point, it's been 40 years since we've had a Republican governor. But we have had divided government since then. We had John Kitzhaber in the governor's office, and we had Republican majorities. And that led to durable compromise. It certainly also included a lot of vetoes. And as governor, I will not shrink away from the need to veto bad ideas and aggressive political agendas that harm Oregon families. I absolutely am committed to standing up for them. But I also think that there's opportunity to get work done together. And I will extend a hand and have an open door to ensure that we have an opportunity to balance budgets and lower taxes.
Christine Drazen with us. About a moment, a minute left on Inside Douglas County. You'll be at Brick's Grill in downtown Roseburg at 4 this afternoon. For folks that are still trying to figure out which way they're going on a Republican ballot, what's your final thoughts to them?
Well, I'm asking Oregonians to vote for me. I would be honored to be the Republican nominee in November and bring the fight to Tina Kotek. I am the only one that can not just beat her in November, but do this work and serve as governor for the people of the state of Oregon. The opportunity to turn our state around is now. This is a moment of choosing. And I'm asking Oregonians, look at my vision. I am here for you. I want Oregonians to have lower costs, lower taxes, safer communities, to end homelessness as we know it, to support seniors, and have strong schools again. And I know how to get that done. And so I'm just asking for Oregonians to vote for me, stand together, rise up, and get our state back.
All right. Christine Drazen, a Republican candidate for governor, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.